Hello, you are listening to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Brandon. Today we begin our lifestyle article, but first we say Happy New Year. We hope that you are enjoying today, New Year's Day, maybe with friends or family. Today we're talking about an article that is appropriate for the new year. It's called Expectations versus Reality. A lot of times we talk about goals this time of year, but this article goes beyond that, and I have two panelists here to discuss this with me. Welcome, Campbell. How are you today?
I'm good. Happy New Year, Brandon.
Happy New Year to you. And what do you think about when you think of expectations?
Well, this is actually a very interesting article. It gave me a lot of food for thought. And when I think of expectations, I think of things that I'm hoping that will happen. You know, these are things that I'm really desiring for. And sometimes they're met, sometimes they're not.
All right, and we also have with us today Amanda. Welcome, Amanda, and Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you and to our listeners as well.
Well, we're talking about this idea of expectations versus reality. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that it's a great topic. It also made me think a lot about what do I do. I do like to set goals and to think about whether that's realistic or whether I need to change the way I do things. I thought that was really good to be challenged about that.
Yeah, we talk a lot about setting realistic goals. But this article goes beyond that in talking about virtues we see here in our deck. So it says goal setting, while helpful, can set up roadblocks and hinder current projects. Now, Campbell, we normally talk about goals in a very positive way, but here it sounds like goals are sometimes a bad thing to focus on.
Yeah, so this is actually what had given me food for thought when I was reading this article. It was very interesting. It seems a little counterintuitive, counter to what, you know, you're usually taught about goals.
All right, and we have the word roadblock here. If you're, you know, driving down the road and something blocks you from doing that, well, you know, that's kind of like a roadblock. But we have a roadblock in life as well. And so sometimes goals can hinder us or stop us from really being successful in life. Instead, we should focus on virtues, and that will lead the way to success. What is a virtue, Amanda?
A virtue is something that you hold, or a principle that you hold in your life that is very important to you.
All right. And so, for example, it's like a moral quality, and it's something that you kind of base your life upon. So it's more important to you than maybe just one goal. It's something that you kind of center your life around. And so that kind of makes sense, and we'll make more sense of this as we look into our article. If you have your magazines, please open them to page 10, and we'll have our first reading for today.
Expectations versus reality. Goal setting, while helpful, can set up roadblocks and hinder current projects. Instead, let virtues lead the way to upfront success. While setting specific challenging goals has been shown to boost performance, some researchers now suggest there's a downside to setting goals. Research has shown that in some cases, organizational goal setting, workplace performance targets, has been linked to cognitive depletion and unethical behavior, says Lisa Ordonez, a management professor at the University of Arizona. In many organizations, after employees meet their goals for a particular period, management ratchets up future performance targets with unintended consequences, she explains. If you're so focused on meeting a numerical goal, it's like putting on blinders, Ordona says. Goal-driven employees can not only become less attuned to ethical considerations and likelier to take risks, but they can also take their eye off other things that are important to the success of the organization, she adds.
Okay, so when you actually have these challenging goals, you set these challenging goals, it's been shown to boost performance. But they need to be specific, of course. But there are some downsides to setting goals. When we talk about boosting performance, what do we mean, Amanda?
Well, boosting something means to help it along or increase it or make it better.
Okay. Panelists, has there been a time when you've set a goal and you really had a problem reaching that goal? Would you care to share that with us? Campbell, do you have one?
Sure. I mean, there's many times I've set goals and I haven't reached them, you know, wanting to maybe get my six-pack abs and get a really fit and trim body. I don't think I've ever reached that goal.
All right. But you did try, right?
I did try. But there's just a lot of different elements that go into getting that kind of slim and trim cut body.
But at least you work toward that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think we set goals, or maybe they're more like dreams or even a pipe dream. We don't really go after it in any way. It's just something we hope for, but we're not willing to put in the work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, so setting goals can be good. And Amanda, have you had a goal that you set that you weren't able to fulfill?
Well, actually, the first time when I wanted to go into the police, there is a day where there's like a physical training element and a mental ability element. And I remember I didn't train for the physical element. I was a little bit proud.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, you know, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. And I did it. And I failed.
Yeah.
So, yes, I have failed. But it taught me to set better goals and to train for it.
Set more realistic goals. And a lot of times when we think we've got it covered, that's when we fail because we didn't take everything into account.
Yes.
And sometimes, many times, I'll set sort of small goals for work. I think, oh, I want to get this accomplished and this accomplished. And guess what? That doesn't happen. But so it does teach us to maybe be more realistic and to take another look at that. Mm-hmm. So there are downsides to setting goals. What does it mean to have a downside to something, Campbell?
Well, it's something negative that comes about from doing an action. So there are some negative things that might come about if you have goals.
Okay, so research has shown that in some cases, organizational goal setting, also maybe called workplace performance targets, has been linked to cognitive depletion. Now, in the workplace, of course, we have performance targets, especially I think of a salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
They have certain targets that they need to meet maybe every month, Amanda.
Yeah, a lot of companies have that as a target for their employees to reach, and that will determine how the company sees their performance.
Now, when you first think about this, do you think that's a positive thing to have those targets or negative, Campbell?
Well, I mean, traditionally, it's considered a positive thing to have these goals. That's why a lot of companies do set the goals so that they have their sales staff or their employees know what we're heading for and what they're working towards.
All right. And you know, we have that maybe a phrase that many of you have heard or a saying that if you don't have a target, you'll hit it every time, right? Because there's no goal. So, of course, you'll meet that. There's nothing to reach for. So, of course, we know that we need things to reach for, and even in the workplace. But really what we're talking about here is the downside of setting goals, not that you shouldn't set them at all. And part of that is this idea of cognitive depletion, and we have that as part of our specialized terms, only one term this month. What is that cognitive depletion? What does that mean, Amanda?
Well, it's the idea that the mental energy that your self-control or willpower relies on can be used up. So depletion meaning depleted and being used up.
Okay, so if you use up all that energy that kind of controls your willpower, then maybe you will make poor decisions. And this is according to this cognitive depletion. This quote here is from Lisa Ordonez, and she is a management professor at the University of Arizona.
That's right. So it's important to note here that we are talking about organizational setting. We're talking about managerial, like in the office, and goal setting in the office context here. And what's interesting is that she says it also leads to unethical behavior, which really caught my eye. And I think in my own experience, it's true. Not that I've been unethical, but I think, you know, you do have that temptation to cheat just to reach that goal. You know, maybe you set yourself, I want to have that 100 on that test, you know, and that's your goal. And all you care about is getting that 100. You don't care about how you get it.
Yeah. And in school, sometimes you may think, oh, I would never cheat on a test. But in the workplace, I don't think, you know, you think about it as much sometimes, especially if it's commonplace. For example, if you are a salesperson, it might be part of your industry to cheat a little bit. Everyone expects it, so it's easy to fall into that.
Or to take shortcuts that you wouldn't normally take. I think, like, you may not do something that's legally wrong or even criminally wrong, but you look for shortcuts in order to get that target.
That's right. All right, as we move on, it says in many organizations, after employees meet their goals for a particular period, well, what does management do, Campbell?
Well, management ratchets up future performance targets with unintended consequences. So the idea of ratcheting something up means to increase something over a period of time. So perhaps you've given a sales rep and you said, okay, for this quarter, I need you to create $1 million in sales. And then if they reach it, you say, hey, great, you're able to do that. The next quarter, I need $150 million. So you kind of increase that goal for them because you feel like they already hit it, so they can do even more.
Which in some ways could be very frustrating for some because they feel like they can never do enough. But at the same time, I assume they would know that if they're in that industry, of course, the next goal is going to be higher than the previous one because you already met that one. So it makes sense. But I think the point here is the cycle never ends.
Right. And I think people do, to some extent, you know, once you've reached a goal, you want to go beyond that. Mm-hmm. So perhaps having that future sum or a larger sum to some people would be quite motivating. But to a lot of people, it does have this unintended consequence. And unintended is just the opposite of intended or the intention.
Right. If it's not intended, it's not what was desired or wanted. And so they have these unintended consequences. And we kind of get an example of that next when Ordonia says, if you're so focused on meeting a numerical goal, it's like putting on blinders. So a numerical is referring to numbers. And if you're putting on blinders, what are you doing, Campbell?
That means that you are, well, blinders is kind of what you put on horses on the side of their heads so that they're not able to get they're not distracted by things going on around them. They can only see what's in front of them. So when you figuratively put on blinders, it means that you're just so focused on a target, you don't see anything else that's going on around you.
That's right. So this is one of the unintended consequences that she's referring to. Well, as we move on to the top of the next column, we see goal-driven employees can not only become less attuned to ethical considerations and likelier to take risks, they also take their eye off other things that are important. Now, let's stop and look at some of these words. If you are attuned to something, that means that you're able to understand it. And so here they're talking about they're less attuned to ethical considerations. They're not paying attention to ethical matters. For example, using it in a different way, of course, parents, they should be attuned to the needs of their children. They should pay attention to them. We've already talked about ethical problems, but we see here once again, Campbell, that if you're so focused on goals, you might do anything to reach them.
That's right. So we see that they're going to take their eye off other things that are important to the success of the organization. So, you know, things like they might be more prone to lying or cheating or just doing little things here and there to make sure they hit the goal. But then in the end, these things might be have a downside or a negative influence on the overall quality of the organization.
And people who are goal-driven, Amanda, they are more likely to take risks. Normally, we think that as being a good thing, but here it's mentioned as a negative.
Right. Just like I mentioned before, people want to take shortcuts to get to the goal. And so you're going to do anything you can to achieve the goal, and it may be risky or it may be dangerous, and that's the risks we're talking about.
Right. So, of course, you still have to be wise when taking risks. You don't just take risks all the time. You have to look at the facts and make a wise decision. So they can take their eye off other things that are important to the success of the organization, because if they're goal-driven, they're so focused on reaching that goal, but they may leave out some other things that are important. And if they take a shortcut and they are caught doing that, that could be bad for the company as well, right, mm-hmm. Campbell?
That's right. It would have a negative effect on the company and the business.
All right. So we can't get out of balance. You know, we have to do things within reason. Next, we're going to talk about compass versus GPS, and you may be wondering what that means. Let's find out in our next reading for today.
Compass versus GPS. Her research looks at the undesired outcomes of organizational goal setting, but applies to personal goals as well. Much has been written about setting specific, measurable goals with deadlines, but some areas call for a broader approach and thinking in terms of a compass that guides you where you need to go, not a series of precise GPS targets you need to reach by specific times, Ordonez says. The problem with goals is that they constantly keep us focused on a future outcome, says author Emily Bennington. When your ability to feel successful is wrapped in goals, you spend most of your time trying to be somewhere other than where you are right now. And even when you achieve your goals, then what? You just set more goals. The cycle is designed so you are never satisfied.
Okay, so we're talking about a compass versus a GPS. What do you use a compass for, Campbell?
Well, you use a compass for finding direction, right? So you use it to figure out which way is north, which way is south, east and west. And so a compass is more of a guidance. So there's no specific point you're looking for. You're just kind of trying to figure out a direction to head in.
And we're accustomed to using GPSs today, and they do give you that point-by-point direction, which is wonderful, Amanda. I think it's wonderful. How about you?
Yes, it's very helpful when you're trying to get from A to B, and the compass might just tell you where north is, but GPS will tell you exactly where you need to be.
And the GPS even talks to you and says to, you know, recalibrate or whatever it says, make a U-turn every time you go the wrong way and don't follow what it says. Actually, my dad likes to argue with the GPS, you know, so that's a fun thing for him. It's, I don't know, kind of different. Anyway, here we're talking about the compass versus GPS, and we go back to Ordonez, and her research looks at the undesired outcomes of organizational goal setting, but applies to personal goals as well. And so we have been looking at organizations, but of course we want to look at our own lives and what goals we have. And there's been a lot of books written and so forth, and we have some examples here about setting deadlines, specific measurable goals with deadlines. Now, when I hear that word deadline, I kind of cringe, Campbell. What is a deadline?
A deadline is just basically a date or a time by which you need to finish something. So if you have a, you know, if you have a goal to reach 150 million by the end of the month, then your goal would be your deadline would be January 31st.
Okay. All right. So we have deadlines, but in other areas, they call for a broader approach and thinking in terms of a compass. So when we use that phrase in terms of, what do we mean, Amanda?
Well, it's in our vocabulary focus. It's an idiom, and it means to describe which particular area or subject you are discussing.
Okay, so we're again comparing compass to GPS, and so some books and some people are calling for this whole idea of having a broader approach versus a point-by-point approach. And what are your thoughts about that, Campbell?
Yeah, I think that that might be a better idea. I think it gives you more room to explore. And I think if you're able to use compasses as a guideline, you might feel more satisfied and less frustrated when you don't reach the goal. You know, you're maybe able to accomplish certain things, but maybe you won't hit a specific target, but you're still able to improve. And in that sense, it gives you more of a sense of motivation to continue.
Have you ever thought about that, Amanda, when it comes to goals? We normally think of the point-by-point thing, but when it comes to this idea of using a compass for your life, and tomorrow we talk about a life roadmap, it kind of really opens things up, doesn't it?
Right, and I think it, like you said, Campbell said about being satisfied, I think it has the opposite to it, doesn't disappoint as much.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have something that is a guideline in your life, when things are happening around you or circumstances that are happening around you, you see that guideline happening mm-hmm. rather than necessarily getting the specific goal, you can still feel, oh, wow, this is working, and not feel disappointed.
Right. It's not all about reaching this goal and that goal. It's just a broader thing. And how is this helping me in my life right now, this direction, this general direction that I'm going in? And I think realizing that it's a journey as well, you know, and it made me think of the fact that we are human beings and not human doings as well. We're thinking we're always reaching this goal, reaching this goal, reaching this goal, and it can be tiring, but there's more to life than just reaching the next goal. All right, well, the problem with goals is that they constantly keep us focused on a future outcome, and this is according to author Emily Bennington. And so we're always focused on that, the outcome, what can we produce, and that can be tiring, Campbell.
That's right. And in a way, you never really enjoy the process. You're not enjoying what you're doing. You're just constantly looking at the result. And, you know, and then once you hit that result, then it's like, okay, on to the next thing, you know. And so what I've learned in my experience is we spend most of the time in the process, you know. So we need to learn to enjoy that process rather than waiting to get that goal before we kind of enjoy it, you know, before we celebrate, you know, because then it just kind of that's a very momentary thing.
The same thing goes for responsibilities. We think of, I have to do this today, I have to do this tomorrow. And we're always, if you're always thinking about the responsibilities, you forget to enjoy the journey. And then you look back and you think, oh, I'm just doing one thing after the other, but your life is out of balance.
Right. It makes me think that you actually are looking at what the process can teach you rather than just the outcome.
Right. If you don't stop and reflect and learn from the process, then you'll continue the same cycle and continue making the same mistakes. So this is a good time of the year to reflect. You can reflect on 2015 and learn from some mistakes and, you know, be grateful for the good things that happen, but also think about, you know, what you can do this year differently.
Right. So I think it's really great. I think this idea of compass versus GPS is really good, because then you can look back and say, hey, am I better today than yesterday? Maybe I haven't reached my goal, but am I better today than yesterday? You know, maybe I'm not completely fluent in English or in whatever I'm trying to do, but do I know more today than I did yesterday?
Well, Emily Bennington continues on in line 19. She says, when your ability to feel successful is wrapped in goals, you spend most of your time trying to be somewhere other than where you are right now. And I love this idea. First of all, let's talk about that phrase wrapped in, Amanda.
Right. Here, it can mean contained in something, or absorbed or consumed by something. So your ability to be successful is absorbed or consumed by achieving those goals.
All right, and so that means you're always focused on that, and you're always thinking about being somewhere other than where you are right now. It's the same idea, just you're thinking about the future. What am I going to do next year? Or what am I going to do next week? Whatever it is, and you're not really living in the present.
Like what you said before, you said we're human beings, not doing. So you're concentrating on the doing and not being in the present.
That's right. And it's like you give, 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 and give, and you have nothing left to give. You have to put something back in as well.
Right. So, you know, a simple example would be maybe trying to lose weight. You know, you might have a goal trying to lose, you know, 5 kilos or 10 kilos or whatever, right? And you haven't reached that goal, and so you just constantly feel like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm never going to get there. But if you're more focused on the idea of having like, hey, I feel healthier today, I have more energy today, you know, than I did yesterday, and I don't want to eat as many sweets as I did yesterday, these things might help you to feel, hey, I'm making progress.
You stole my example that I wrote down. But it's a little bit different. Maybe I'll expand on it tomorrow. But anyway, so this is a really good thing to think about. Don't spend all of your days thinking about the future. It's important to plan, but it's also important to live in the present. Okay, and Emily Bennington, she continues on. She says, and even when you achieve your goals, then what? You just set more goals. And that's a very discouraging thought, Amanda.
Yeah, because all you're doing is this cycle. It says the cycle is designed so you're never satisfied. It makes me think of like a mouse. You put some cheese in front of it. Okay, then you move that cheese, you know, so that goes a little bit further and you keep moving the cheese. But then you never feel like you've actually reached the destination.
Right, yeah. And that's actually something my wife has reminded me of recently, not with mice, but with our children. But the idea that, you know, they're so young, and at that age, you know, they need that sense of satisfaction, like, hey, I was able to do something, right? So sometimes when I'm playing with them, like, I'll dangle something in front of them, and I'll, like, kind of pull it away, and I'll dangle it, and I'll pull it away, and I think it's fun, you know? But then she's like, you're kind of frustrating them, mm-hmm. you know? You got to let them feel like, hey, I was able to get it, you know, I was able to do it. And so they feel, okay, you know, now I can do things, and rather than feel like I can't do anything because daddy never lets me, you know.
That's a good example. Well, we end with this nice thought here for day one of our lifestyle article. Tomorrow I want to ask our panelists what makes them satisfied. So please tune in to hear the answer to that. And in the meantime, please check out all of our Topic Talks videos. You can simply scan the QR codes there in your magazine. We have the introduction, the insight, features, and Get It Right, which Amanda, who's in the studio with us now, is the host. So please be sure to check out those videos. You can also go on to our website, studioclassroom.com, to view those videos and leave any feedback about this article or questions in general. Well, we hope that you are enjoying New Year's Day and that you have a great start to 2016. Until next time, this is Brandon,
Campbell,
and Amanda
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.